السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two things. First is Quran, and second is Sunnah. Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the two sources of our deen. So from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have these two sources of guidance. In Quran and Sunnah, there are certain teachings which are relevant for particular days. And these days, normally people are returning back from Hajj. And it's amazing that Hajj itself is such an amazing ibadat. It's a once in a lifetime experience. Yani the Farz Hajj, it's a one shot deal for many of us. People save their money throughout their lifetime, and then finally they get an opportunity to perform Hajj. But yet this is an ibadat, it's a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a fard, compulsory for those who have enough resources. So on one hand, it's a very incredible ibadat. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us is that when a person completes their Hajj, on the days when they're returning back from Hajj, they should do another type of ibadat, which is called zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And this is fascinating because, like we said, that Hajj itself is very important. We're completing this compulsory wajib fard ibadat, an ibadat which is once in a lifetime short for many of us. And then when this ibadat is completed, the hukum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us is that you do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was telling us to go for Hajj, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We perform Hajj, and there are actually very few legal rulings in the Quran. One of them is Hajj. Hajj is there in the Quran. It's explicitly there in the Quran. Not many other rulings are explicitly, clearly laid down in the Quran. But Hajj is one of those ibadat which is so ahem, so important, that not only is it fard, not only is it a once in a lifetime opportunity for many of us, but the ahkam, the legal rulings of Hajj, they are clearly and explicitly laid down in the Quran. And now there is a person who completes this ibadat of Hajj. But still that is not enough. in Quran, the message of Quran is that this ibadat is not going to be enough. You need something extra. You need something extra. And this is something which me and you on our akal will not be able to understand. If we were using our human understanding to try to come up, that we just perform this incredible ibadat of Hajj. Person's completely pure, all their sins are forgiven. So on our own human understanding, we, or even our own practice, our experience, we will not be able to come to this conclusion that after this ibadat we need to engage in this other ibadat, which is the zikr of Allah. And this is why the deen of Islam is based not on human aql, it's based on Quran and Sunnah. Islam is based upon Quran and Sunnah. And in Quran and Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to another level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands humanity, understands what we need as human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that after completing this ibadat of Hajj, what we need in our life is to carry that momentum of Hajj. And for that, the ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us is the zikr of Allah, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this abundance remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we need to have the reality of zikr in our heart. It's an ibadat, it's a worship, it's an act of ibadat. And it follows this ibadat of Hajj. Islam is concerned with hakikat. Sometimes different terms are used, different labels are used. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is that even after this ibadat of Hajj, we want an individual who should be remembering Allah ta'ala in their heart. We don't just want a haji who was remembering Allah ta'ala in the plains of Arafah, or in Muzdalifah, or in Mina, or in Makkah Mukarramah, or in Madinah Tayyibah. We want that human being whose heart is always remembering Allah. That's the hakikat that Allah ta'ala wants from us. And sometimes different names are used. Sometimes we say this is zikr of Allah ta'ala. Sometimes we say this is wukuf-e kalbi, that you pause your heart on the remembrance of Allah. Sometimes we say that this is ruju ilallah, that you are returning back to Allah ta'ala in every matter. Sometimes we say this is inabat ilallah, that you are inabat, that you are turning to Allah, that you have an attachment with Allah, a deep inclination and a yearning for Allah at all times. These are all labels. Many of these words are mentioned in the Quran itself. Many of them are mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But these are labels. Islam is not concerned with labels. Islam concerns itself with hakikat. And the reality is very simple, that the heart should always be remembering Allah. The heart should not be heedless of Allah. The heart should be aware of Allah. The heart should be in that kayfiyat, when either it is aware that it is looking at Allah ta'ala, or it is being looked at by Allah. Many times there is a lot of confusion that people have about this, that where are we supposed to, why are we supposed to learn zikr? And those who teach zikr, those who learn zikr, those who formally take someone as a teacher in zikr, so they're not able to understand these things, and why are these things important? Why is zikr so important? Why is taking someone as a teacher of zikr so important? Why is it important to learn the zikr? And the example, because this is something which confuses many people, but a simple example will help us to understand that if you take the tajweed of the Quran, nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the hadith, this word tajweed is used. The word that label tajweed is not used. Rather, what Quran uses is another word which is called tartil, that you recite Quran with tartil. Tartila. Tartil means that you recite Quran in a slow, measured, correct way, with the correct pronunciation, with the correct makhraj, where each letter is coming out from the proper place. So the Quran gives us the goal that when you have to decide to qira'at of the Quran, you have to do it with tartil. Now the method to learn that tartil is called tajweed. The method to learn tartil is tajweed. And then we have the books of tajweed, we have the principles of tajweed, we have the methodologies of tajweed, we have teachers who teach us the tajweed. So tajweed is, the word is not there in the Quran, but the goal is there in the Quran. Or for example, when a person makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, we make our own du'as. The same way, just like dua is nafil, this zikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is also nafil. But what zikr helps a person attain is this qurb of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Zikr helps a person attain this presence of the heart. And this is matlub in our deen. This is maqsood in our deen. This is the goal, that a heart should always be remembering Allah Ta'ala. And the exercise, the method that enables a person to remember Allah Ta'ala all the time, that is zikr, that is formal zikr. A little bit of zikr we can all do on our own. But zikr-e kaseer that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, for that a person needs to be trained, person needs to be tutored, person needs to get that understanding, that practical methodology of how to do zikr-e kaseer. And then all of that will enable us to get that Quranic goal. Even though zikr itself is nafil, none of the ulama will say, none of the muftis will say that zikr is fard. They'll say it's nafil. But what this nafil zikr helps a person attain is something which is absolutely necessary and important, which is the person's heart should be connected to Allah Ta'ala. Person should be thinking about Allah, they should not be amongst the ghafilin. Because Allah says in Quran, "Wala takum min al-ghafilin," that don't be among those who are heedless. And when a person then they have this kayfiyat, where the heart is remembering Allah Ta'ala, the heart is aware of Allah, the heart feels that awareness that I'm being watched by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. Allah Ta'ala is with me. This used to be our sabak. Our akabareen, our salaf saliheen, this used to be the training that they would impart to their children. When their kids would be 4, 5, 6 years old, they would impart this training to their kids, that you have to repeat this sentence over and over again, that Allah is with me, Allah Ta'ala is with me, Allah Ta'ala is looking at me, Allah Ta'ala is with me, Allah Ta'ala is looking at me, Allah Ta'ala is with me, Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. And with repetition, you keep attacking your heart, you keep hitting your heart. You keep reminding your heart that Allah Ta'ala is with me and Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. When a person does this multiple times for multiple days, and they do this consistently, continually, then begins to have an effect. A person begins to feel, they begin to perceive. They begin to attain that reality that Allah Ta'ala is with me, Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. So our basic problem, the tragedy of our time is that we have these ibadat. Alhamdulillah, we get tawfiq to do ibadah, we pray salah, we keep our fasting. Our ibadah is without zikr. Our ibadah, our salah is without zikr. Our tilawat is without zikr. Without zikr means it's without the presence of the heart. It's without that sweetness that one is supposed to have in that ibadah. It's like a sugar-free ice cream. Salah without zikr, namaz without zikr is a sugar-free ice cream. That's why we don't enjoy our salad. It doesn't have any sugar, doesn't have any sweetness, doesn't have any halawat, doesn't have any mitas, doesn't have any lazzat. That sugar has been taken away from our ibadah. Why? Because we don't have that zikr. When that sugar is taken away, then salah becomes a burden, fasting becomes a burden. Sometimes even ilm, studying ilm-e-deen becomes a burden. I just a few days ago I met someone at a madrasa, not a hadith student, who was telling me that we are studying hadith day in and day out, studying hadith from morning 8 a.m. till night 11 p.m. And then that student, he said that yet we study hadith, and that person was living in the madrasa, on the premises of the madrasa, where there is the Dora Hadith, there is a hall there, and then there is also a masjid, and then there is a hostel for the boys. So he was explaining this kayfiyat, that our kayfiyat sometimes is such that we have all these ilm, we study all the ilmi nukat in Arabic and hadith. And sometimes it becomes so academic and so dry that we don't feel any spirituality in our ibadat. We don't feel any lazzat in our ibadat. And sometimes we not even feel motivated to come pray salah in the masjid. And he's someone who is just a few paces away from the masjid, living in the mahal, the environment of the madrasa. Hostel life with no sins, an environment of taqwa, because there are no sins in the madrasa. In living in that pious, pure environment, and studying ilm, studying hadith, this Dora Hadith, last year, and from morning till night, right? That person was saying that we pray our salah, sometimes we have to force ourselves to come to the masjid. We don't like coming to the masjid. We don't enjoy coming to the masjid. That's our kayfiyat. That it's all so dry, so academic. It becomes so. We don't feel that enjoyment. We don't feel that sugar in our ice cream. That's what he was saying. We pray salah, but there is no zikr. There's no enjoyment. And what that person was saying in that environment of a madrasa, being a Dora Hadith student, that is something which is very common. Even more common in our environment, where we're outside that environment. In our homes, we pray salah, but there's no enjoyment. We do tilawat of Quran, but there is no enjoyment. We don't feel it. We fast, we do many ibadat, but there isn't that presence of the heart. We don't feel that halawat. In one hadith which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet says to the mentioned one of the alamat, one of the signs of how you person can feel this halawat in their ibadat, halawat in their iman, the sweetness in their iman. And what the Prophet says to them said is that one of the three signs, one of the signs for the halawat of is that a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than any other love. They have muhabbat for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this muhabbat of Allah is ghalib. It's the dominant love, the primary love, the overpowering love, which overpowers every other love, including love for their own self. So to increase this muhabbat of Allah, such that this muhabbat becomes the overpowering, overarching love in our life, so that we become embodiments of this ayat of the Quran, that al-walladina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah, that those who have iman, they're extremely intense in their muhabbat, in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person attains such a muhabbat of Allah, then they will be able to experience that halawat and sweetness in their salah. And then how can a person get this muhabbat of Allah, this shadid, intense, extreme muhabbat of Allah? That is through zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And not just any zikr, zikr e kaseer. How to get sugar back in our salah? Zikr e kaseer. Zikr e kaseer. And what is zikr e kaseer? Zikr e kaseer is that zikr which has to be done kasrat, abundantly. So if you use our tongue to do zikr, you cannot use the tongue all the time. Because you have to speak. You have to talk to other people. You are in a meeting. You are giving a presentation. So your tongue is being used for many other things. So zikr-e-kaseer is not about simply using your tongue. Zikr-e-kaseer is zikr-e-kalbi. Zikr-e-kaseer is that even when you're in the market, even when you're in the dunya, even when you are in your workplace, your heart should still be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr-e-kalbi. This is what we need. How to get sugar back in our salah? Zikr-e-kalbi. Where you remember Allah in your kalb, in your heart. Allah ta'ala has given us this heart. This heart is a very beautiful part of ourself. It's the most important part of ourself because it's that part of our ruh. This is not the physical heart. This is a spiritual heart. It's that part of our ruh which enables us to feel the feelings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that part which enables us to experience that presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel that intimacy with Allah, to feel that proximity with Allah, to feel that muhabbat of Allah, the mahbubiyat of Allah. All of these kayfiyat, they happen through the heart. To have that kayfiyat of khashiyat of Allah happens through the heart. This fikr for the deen, that sunnat, fikr, concern for the ummah. These are all feelings, and feelings are all about the heart. When a person works on their heart, they activate their heart. They are conscious about their heart and they're watching their heart. Then a person is able to experience these feelings in their heart. Sahaba ikram, they used to watch their heart all the time. They were trained in such a way by the Prophet to watch their heart. First step is to monitor your heart, to watch your heart. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala once in Madina Munawwara, he left his house and he was saying, Nafaka Hanzala, Nafaka Hanzala. The Hanzala has become a hypocrite, munafiq. Now that sentence itself is teaching us something. Why was he saying this? Because he was monitoring his heart. And then he met Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And he asked him that, Wa Hanzala, why are you saying this? And he said that the reason why I'm saying is because when I'm in the company of the Prophet, I feel that my passion, my jazba for deen is very high. In my heart, I have these kayfiyat which I don't have when I'm in my home with my family. I feel when I'm back home, that jazba, that passion goes down. So this change, this difference, this discrepancy in my kayfiyat of the heart, he thought that this is munafika, this is hypocrisy. And there was a change in their kayfiyat of the heart. Means they were always monitoring their heart, watching the kayfiyat of their heart. When a person watches their heart, then a person will be able to bring zikr back in their heart. The Prophet says, when Nabi Salatu Wasalam entered Makkah Mukarma at the time of Fatah Makkah, the Prophet says, he humbled himself, was riding the animal, and then he humbled himself and then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all praise belongs to Allah. Nasara abda wa hazam al ahzaba wahda. That Allah ta'ala, all praise belongs to that Allah ta'ala, who alone gave us victory, who alone defeated the enemy. This was again a training. The lest any feeling of arrogance creep, any feeling of arrogance creeps inside the heart, comes inside the heart. Displaying humility at that time. And this was a heart, such a pure heart, that was washed by Zamzam several times. This was a heart where a person cannot even think and even imagine that there could be any stain of ghafla. But still, this was a lesson, Talim-e-Ummat, giving a lesson for the Ummat, that the Prophet says, is to watch the condition of his heart. And hence, we as Ummati should also follow in the footsteps of the Prophet system and revive this sunnah of watching, monitoring, being aware of the condition of our heart. This is the first step. Then only we can bring zikr inside. This is zikr kalbi that Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran as well. That wala takum min al-ghafilin and wala tuti man aghfalna kalbahu an zikrina. That don't even listen to that person whose heart we have made empty of our remembrance. Specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about two things. One is the heart, the place of zikr is the heart, and then don't listen to such people whose heart are deprived, are empty of the remembrance of Allah. Means that even nasihat, if you want to listen to nasihat, we should listen to the nasihat of those people whose hearts are remembering Allah Ta'ala. If that is the criteria for listening to nasihat, then we can understand how important this zikr in the heart is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we should on our own strive to have such a heart. But what happens is the heart, when it becomes empty, instead of the muhabbat of Allah, the zikr of Allah, when there is ghaflat, then there is shaitan, there is wasawis, there are diseases, there is parishani, there is depression, there is anxiety. All of these things happen when the heart loses that remembrance of Allah. Because if the heart has remembrance, it will be itminan. Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah says in Quran, then know that only and only in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find itminan. Outside, there can be a storm in terms of circumstances, personal tragedies, events. There can be a storm outside in the dunya, but inside, there can be calmness. Inside, there is tranquility. There is itminan. This itminan comes from zikr-e qalbi. This itminan comes from zikr-e kaseer. This itminan comes from zikr-e khafi. These are all words used in Ahadith-e Mubarakah. Zikr-e kalbi, zikr-e khafi, zikr-e sirri. In Quran, Allah mentions, Allah Ta'ala says, فَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. That remember your Lord inside of your nafs. Mufassirin, they say, أي في قلبك. Yani, remember your Lord inside of your qalb. Very sarih and sahih. Clearly and explicitly laid down in the Quran, that remember your Lord inside of your heart. Inside. And then the way to remember your Lord inside of your heart, Allah Ta'ala mentions elsewhere, that wazkur isma rabbik, that remember the name of your Lord. Now, the name of our Lord is Allah, and this is such a ba-barakat name. This is a name of barakah, where just taking this name brings barakah in our life. This name has so much barakah that Qiyamah will not come. Qiyamah will not be able to come as long as there is even one person alive who's saying the word Allah. Any Qiyamah will be delayed 40 years when the word Allah is said by anyone on the face of this planet. So if such a big musibat like Qiyamah will be delayed because of the barakah of this name, imagine that person who has a habit of reciting this name, making zikr of this name several times during the day. Several times during the day, this person is chanting the name of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. This person is applying the name of Allah, Allah in his heart. How much barakah will there be in that person's life? how many musibatein and pareshaniya and difficulties will go away from that person's life just because of the barakah of this name. It's a barakah name. Taba, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, Tabarakasmu Rabbik. That full of barakah is the name of your Rabb. We haven't tapped into the barakah of this name. To tap into the barakah of this name, we need to have a taluk with this name. We need to have a relationship with this name. And for that, we need to take this name over and over again in our heart. Over and over again, we need to pass this name on our heart. As if my heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. I'm listening to the zikr of my heart. Wherever we are, we're eating our food. We are out on the road. We're inside the home. In our background, we should be thinking. We should be thinking that my heart is remembering, is saying, then is calling the name of Allah. My heart is saying, Allah, Allah, I'm listening to the zikr. The more we practice, the more we'll become experts about this zikr. And then there will be a time when the zikr of Allah will become a permanent feature of our heart, where the heart will always be thinking about the name of Allah. Even if a person wants to divert themselves, they want to focus on something else, their heart will always constantly be thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the kafiyat that we want to achieve. الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. The male believers who remember Allah Ta'ala abundantly. The female believers who remember Allah Ta'ala abundantly. And then when a person achieves that state, then there's muhabbat of Allah inside that heart. And not just any muhabbat, there is that ashaddu hubbal lillah. That shadeed tareen muhabbat will come, because zikr-e kaseer will give us shiddat of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat. Such an intense muhabbat, there'll be hararat, the warmth of the muhabbat of Allah. We'll begin to experience that warmth. And this muhabbat will be the primary muhabbat, the overpowering muhabbat. This will bring back the sugar. The sugar will come back in our salah. The lazat will come back in our ibadat. The sweetness will come back in every single aspect of our deen. And that's what we have to aim for, because that is part of iman. That is halawat iman. That is kamal iman. That is the haqiqat iman. Up till now, we have been leading lives which are namukammal. These are incomplete lives that we are leading. Incomplete iman, incomplete Islam, incomplete, lacking the feelings, lacking that. The joy, that sweetness. Imam Rabbani, Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmatullah, he mentions the zikr as zikr of the heart, zikr-e-kalbi, as one of the greatest forms of zikr. You revive this zikr in your heart, you will be able to revive the ruh of all the ibadat of your deen. Because this zikr will bring the presence of Allah back in your life. It will revive the ruh of your ibadat. It will make deen sweet for you. You will begin to enjoy deen. And this will bring itminan in your heart. It will take care of the dunya. It will attach you to Allah Ta'ala. And the hardships, difficulties, challenges of the dunya, the zikr will give you such tranquility, such itminan, that outside there can be a storm, but inside you will be in a state of contentment. This is what we need to revive in our life. This is part of the jadeed deen. This is part of the jadeed sunnat. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she said, the Prophet sallam, his eyes would sleep, but his heart would be awake. Heart would always be remembering Allah. The eyes will sleep, but the heart will be awake. This becomes the kafiyat of the zakiri. We need zikr because we need Allah Ta'ala in our heart. It's as simple as that. Through zikr, the rust of the heart goes away. The hardness goes away. The crust goes away. This zang that we have on our heart, the polish for the heart, to remove all of this crust and rust, these layers of sins, these layers of ghafla, these layers of worries, and these layers of corruption, and these layers of ghayrullah that is there on our heart, to remove all of those layers, the polish, the Prophet said, zikrullah, siqalatul qulub, zikrullah. For everything there is a polish, the heart's polish is the zikr of Allah. But it doesn't happen when a person does zikr one day, one week, and then they leave it. This has to be made a permanent feature of our day, of our life, every single day of our life. Then we can fulfill this definition of zakirin. Because zakirin means people who are firmly established on this attribute of zikr. These are people who remember Allah every day, continually, abundantly. Not one day, 2 days, and then leave for the third day. Continually, every day, we need to build this habit. We need to build it up. With practice, like we say in English, that practice makes a man perfect. Maybe first it'll be difficult. For beginners, we just have to start. For those who started but left, we have to restart. It's that simple. There is no other way to get this halawat of iman. For halawat, if we want to get this sweetness, the sugar, the joy, that happiness in our deen, want to get that contentment, itminan in our hearts. The one way, the only way that clearly Allah mentions in the Quran is zikrullah. And kasrat of zikrullah. The zikrullah will give itminan. It will give us halawat, hakikat of iman, kamale iman. So we need to restart, and we need to renew, we need to re-pledge ourselves to Allah, we need to refocus, we need to revive this lost branch of deen, this greatest branch of our deen, which will give ruh back to our entire deen. So for many of us, it's difficult to fit something in our schedule. So practically speaking, we can start with salah. That the 5 times that we pray, after those 5 times when you're done praying, we just sit for 5, 10, 15 minutes after every one of those salah, and then spend some time exclusively in the remembrance of Allah. 5 minutes after every salah, that's 25 minutes. Every day we fix the timings with our salah timings. I'm going to sit on our musalla and remember Allah Ta'ala in my heart. And then we're going to allow that zikr to flow throughout the day. Keep reminding ourselves of that zikr. Where my heart, I just want to disconnect for some time. My heart is remembering Allah. My heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And I'm listening to the zikr of my heart. I'm going to do that for 5-10 minutes after every salah. And then once I'm done with my salah, once I'm done with that zikr, then throughout the day, I want to keep reminding myself that my heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And I'm listening to that zikr. Because the hakikat is that when you make that intention, when you're making this intention, because initially it's all about the intention. You can focus your attention on the heart. That part you have capability. You, with your concentration, mental concentration, you can shift focus towards your heart. Because our heart has this physical place, the left side of our chest. So you can physically focus your attention there. That part you can do. But then when we say that you have to make your heart attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any space. Allah Ta'ala is not in a particular physical place. So many people, they get confused that how can we make our heart focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is intention. You simply by making intention. And what's your intention? That my heart is remembering the name of Allah. My heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And I'm saying this, and Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and nur from Allah Ta'ala is coming into my heart. Nur from Allah Ta'ala is coming into my heart. When a person makes this intention, then a person begins to get that nur. This is the kamal of innamal amalu bin niyat. This is the application of this hadith. That if you make intention, then whatever you're intending, you will start getting that. If you made this intention that my heart is saying Allah, 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 and Allah Ta'ala, nur from Allah Ta'ala and tajalliyat and anwarat and waridat and fiyuzat are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into my heart, by the barakah of the intention that you make, you begin to receive all that anwarat. You will begin to feel something in your heart. So we should never doubt the intention. We should never belittle our intention. Rather, we should make a very conscious, focused, core, concentrated intention that my heart is saying. It definitely is saying. There's no shak about this. That's what my intention is, and present that intention to Allah. Because the stronger our intention is, and the more yakin and certainty we have about our intention, that my heart is saying Allah, Allah, and I'm trying to listen, two things will happen. Number one, there is a hadith where the Prophet said, hadith Qudsi, where Allah Ta'ala says that Ana inda zanni abdi bi, that I am with my servant as he or she thinks about me. So then we think that Allah Ta'ala is sending anwarat in my heart, then Allah Ta'ala is sending anwarat in my heart. There's no shak about that. And when Allah Ta'ala is sending nur and anwarat in my heart, then it's easy for us to focus on just receiving them. We don't have to force something to come into our heart, it's already coming. Someone, Allah Ta'ala is pouring his nur and rahmah in our heart. We simply, it's like sunbathing. Like spiritual sunbathing, that nur is coming, that light is coming, those varidat are coming, those tajalliyat are coming. We're just soaking it in. That's all we have to do. They're coming. We don't need to force them to come. We're just receiving. We just press the receiver on. We're just the reception has to be turned on. That's it. The reception is turned on by making niyat. You turn on the reception through niyat, and then you're just spiritually sunbathing. And over time, this will have an effect. Person may not perceive all of this on the first day, but when it continually, a person begins to wash their heart through the zikr. And the more concentration and the more certainty they have in their niyat, they'll be able to see it. They'll be able to perceive. Because Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, that every single thing is doing the tasbih of Allah, but you cannot know. You don't know. You don't understand. So, Ya Allah, my heart is also a thing. My heart is also doing zikr of Allah Ta'ala. But because we are untrained, we are not able to understand. We have to train our hearts so that we can also begin to perceive how my heart is saying Allah, Allah. This is an ajeeb part of our body, ajeeb part of our ruh. Something which can connect us, join us, bring us close to Allah Ta'ala. It's an amazing part of ourselves. And this is such a big tragedy that many of us, we lead such lives, but are completely unaware of this part of our body, unaware of our heart. We are thinking, we are using our akal, we are so concerned about our zahir, so concerned about washing our zahir and how we look. So we should, and I'm not discounting all of that. We should, zahir is important, but more important than the zahir is our batin, is our qalb. Allah Ta'ala does not look at our zahir, Allah Ta'ala looks at our heart and our batin. So that's one place where we should be focused on. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through this we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can get itminan in our life. And just like in tajweed, one needs to have a tutor, a teacher, to learn tajweed. In the same case, in zikr, to learn zikr-e kaseer, to be trained and tutored, one needs a teacher of zikr. And that is what we call a sheikh. The sheikh will help a person, will guide a person, will train a person on this journey of how we can become people of zikr-e kaseer. How we can become such individuals who can remember Allah Ta'ala throughout the day. So this is the way. This is the way of our deen. For every field of our deen, there are ulama. For every single field of our deen, we have ulama. For understanding Quran, we have the mufassirin, the mufassir ulama. For understanding hadith, we have the hadith ulama, the ulama of hadith. For understanding fiqh, we have the ulama who are known as the fuqaha. For understanding tajweed, we have the ulama who are the qurra. And in the same way, for tazakiyah, to get this kafiyat, this presence of the heart in our heart, presence of Allah Ta'ala in our heart, to get this kafiyat of tazakiyah, ihsan, excellence, halawat iman, sugar back in our salah, they're also ulama, ulama of the sabuf, ulama of the zakiyah, who known as mashayikh. Prophet said that these ulama, al-ulama, they are varasatul anbiya. They are the varis of the anbiya alayhi salam. They're the heirs of the Prophet. They will carry forth that responsibility and they will revive, these ulama will revive different aspects of our deen, and together they will revive the entirety of deen. They will specialize in different aspects of deen, and in that way they will be able to revive, they will be able to take us back to that original pristine deen, the deen of the Sahaba. We need a connection with all these ulama, just like we need connection with the mufassirin and the muhaddisin and the fuqaha. In the same way, we need to revive our connection with the ulama of the tasawwuf, the mashayikh, so that we can revive this aspect of our deen. This is what Allah Ta'ala has sent to us. Two things, Kitabullah and Rijalullah. Rijalullah, the prophets. So many times it happens that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were sent without any scripture. Just Ustad. No book, no manual. Just the Ustad was sent. The Sheikh was sent. The master educator was sent. So there is a preference of teacher over the book. Even if that book happens to be the book of Allah Ta'ala himself, Kalamullah, Kitabullah. Even if that book is the book of Allah Ta'ala, it's the Kitabullah. Still, that Kitabullah comes with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Anbiya alayhi salam can come without books, but no book comes without a Nabi to explain that book. Yani, for books, we need a teacher, we need an Ustad. People say we don't need ulama. The Prophet said, Al ulama barasatul anbiya. You need the ulama, and you need the ulama for every science, for every sub-science, for every branch of deen. Some people say that they're bad ulamas. So if they're bad ulamas, we need to search for good ulama. We need to search for authentic ulama. That's what we do. They're bad doctors. We don't just entirely cut ourselves away from doctors. We go and find good doctors. If there is a lot of fakery and artificial thing out there in the market, We leave the artificial, we go for the genuine. We search for the genuine. We don't leave the genuine. Because if we leave the genuine, because there is a danger that you might fall into the artificial and the fake thing, then you'll have to leave Islam as well. There are several versions of Islam. There are many fake Islams out there. There are many things which are happening in the name of Islam, which have nothing to do with Islam. So we need the ulama of the Sahuf. And we need to join ourselves with them. Have correspondence, rabata, take guidance, seek guidance, so that we can learn this path of how to do zikr-e kaseer. And we should make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, we are sick and tired of leading such an incomplete life, of praying in such a way where we don't even feel you. It's a salah where we don't even have any enjoyment, which doesn't have any sugar. And subhanAllah, when a person attains this feeling of zikr in their heart, then there is a point that they reach which is a point of no return. And that should be our dua. Ya Allah, I ask you that you make me reach that point of no return, that I cannot return back to sin. I want to have first-hand experience of your qurb, first-hand experience of your intimacy, first-hand experience of your proximity. And when a person has that first-hand experience, he will reach absolute certainty. All other romantic feelings will go away from your heart. All other fascination with ideologies and philosophies will go away from your heart. This is a tremendous thing to be able to experience yaqeen in the Zaat of Allah, to be able to experience Iman-e-Hakiki, the halawat of Iman-e-Hakiki, the sweetness of real Iman. That's the point of no return. And it's impossible then to ever lose that Iman. It's not possible. Alhamdulillah, in this day and age, there are such people like that who work on themselves and they reach that level of point of no return. Solid, absolute, unshakable Iman. When outside there can be a storm, inside they're firmly embedded on their Iman, established on their Iman. Otherwise, you see the halat in our society, when the world events, and the people, many people, many young people, they're losing Iman every day. People are surrendering their Iman. But the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, zikrullah, is very powerful. It's a very potent, it's a strong tea with a kick of caffeine. Zikr means there is a kick. This is what the mashayikh, they teach. They try to kick us through the zikr and become active in our deen, proactive in our deen. The zikr will give you that kick, will give you that jazba, that passion, will give you that energy in your deen, that enjoyment. Just like people, there are some people who can't survive without tea. They can't begin their day because they haven't had their tea yet. Your kafiyat will become like that, that I can't begin my day because I haven't had my zikr. I need my tea. I need my kick. I need my caffeine. And I need my fuel. Zikr becomes the fuel. Initially, it's zikr dawa. It's like dawa, but then becomes your ghiza, your nourishment. You can't live without it. Zikrullah. You know, there is an ayat in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Jews, how they leave the Ala for the Adna. They're leaving that which is Ala for that which is Adna. And this is happens to be our state as well. All over our life, throughout our life, that's all what we are doing. We're leaving the Ala, the Zikrullah, for what? Zikr of Ghairullah, which is Adna. What does Allah Ta'ala, Zikr of Allah Ta'ala compared to Zikr of Ghairullah? There's no comparison. Leaving the Ala for the Adna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us that we can draw ourselves close to Him. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can work on ourselves, work on our zikr. And whatever our state is in our heart, we should be razi with Allah ta'ala. In our heart, be razi with Allah. In our heart, try to Allah Ta'ala kumanai. Try to win over Allah. Not have any complaints and shikwa. If you have to make dua to Allah. But not complain before people. Just have your own personal ta'aluk with Allah. Develop your ta'aluk with Allah. And be razi with Allah Ta'ala. One hadith, and we'll end with this hadith. The Prophet said that there's a dua that whoever recites this dua 7 times, then I will hold that person's hand and take that person into Jannat. And this is a big thing. That whoever recites this dua has a habit of reciting this dua 7 times every day. And the Prophet himself is taking this responsibility. That I will hold that person by his hand and then ensure that this person enters into Jannah. And it's a very easy dua, all of us can remember. Raditu billahi rabba wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bi Muhammadin Nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa bil Islam deena. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can develop this raza bil qaza within us. We can also be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His raza, a life according to His pleasure. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we'll make a short silent zikr of the heart for a few minutes. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from everything else in this world and make niyat that Ya Allah, you have said in the Quran, Fazukuruni azkurkum, that if you remember me, I will remember you. So Ya Allah, I'm remembering you deep inside my heart. And I ask you that you remember me by showering your rahmah, your mercy upon my heart. By cleaning my heart of its filth of its sins, by washing my heart of its impurities, and Ya Allah, my heart in gratitude and shukr is calling upon your Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Allah, as if my heart is secretly, silently saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. La ilahe illallah Muhammed Resulullah. Mikdaa. Subhan Rabbil Al-Wahhab. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammed wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammed wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. اللهم أعط نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سعى لك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم اجعلني أحبك بقلبي كله وأرضيك بجهدي كله. اللهم إنا نسألك الشوق إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومالي وولدي ومن الماء البارد على ظمأ. اللهم اجعلني لك زكارا ولك شكارا ولك مطواعا ولك مخبتا وإليك أواها منيبا. ربي تقبل توبتي واغسل صوبتي وأجب دعوتي وثبت حجتي واهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة صدري. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.